All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown.
God from the impossibility of the contrary. The transcendental proof for God's existence is that without Him, it is impossible to prove anything.
Let every tongue and every tribe responsive to His call. To Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him Lord of all. To Him all majesty ascribe and crown.
Yes, I want to thank everyone who is on the Capbroni channel for tuning in to this debate. We welcome you to our co-show between the Tag Your It podcast and the Capbroni YouTube channel. We are so thankful that Mr. McCormick has agreed to this format and agreed to this proposition. Of course, our proposition today is resolve intelligent design is not intelligent. Let me first introduce the, of course, individual many of you on the Capbroni channel do not know, and that is Tim Carter. Tim Carter is the executive pastor at Cornerstone Baptist Church. He has a BA in economics and finance from Southwest Baptist University. He is currently working towards his MDiv in apologetics or his Master's of Divinity in Apologetics and Biblical Studies at Columbia Evangelical Seminary. He is a member of the Missouri Baptist Apologetics Network and the International Society of Christian Apologetics. That is where he will be presenting a paper this spring on evangelical mysticism. He is married to Katie, and both of them have a son by the name of Cash. Tim is also, of course, the host of his own podcast called Dogma Apologetics. You can check him out on iTunes or CastBox. That is Dogma Apologetics. We want to welcome Mr. Sean McCormick as well. This is his second time on Tag Your It, the podcast. Sean has a degree in digital drafting and design from Manhattan Area Technical College. And those of you who are new to the Tag Your It podcast might want to check out our first debate between Sean McCormick and Adam Ray Cochran. But Sean hosts his own YouTube channel, Capbroni, where he discusses atheism and gaming. Sean, welcome again to Tag Your It, the podcast. Tonight, Sean will be affirming the proposition, resolve intelligent design is not intelligent. The formatting is very simple. We will begin tonight with a 10-minute constructive speech where Sean will again present his arguments stating that intelligent design is not intelligent, followed by 10 minutes of Mr. Carter negating that proposition, followed by Mr. McCormick spending 5 minutes cross-examining Mr. Carter. Then Mr. Carter will turn around and cross-examine Sean for 5 minutes. There will be a rebuttal where Mr. McCormick will rebut the arguments brought forth by Tim. After that, there will be a negative rebuttal where Tim will rebut the arguments brought forward by Sean. We'll follow this up with another round of cross-examination. Of course, this time, Tim will begin the cross-examining, and those are 5 minutes apiece. Then we will have two sections of 5 minutes closing statements. Tim will actually begin the 5 minutes of closing, and then Sean will get to end the debate with his 5 minutes of closing. Now, we are making one little change, and that is that we will allow that first 10-minute constructive, if either of the speakers have any time left, we will move that down to the closing statement. So in, for example, if Sean only uses 5 minutes of his opening statement, he will get a 10-minute closing statement. Further, if Tim only uses 6 minutes of his opening statement, he will get those 4 minutes added to his closing statement, giving him maybe a 9-minute closing statement. Now, after the debate, we will have a time where Sean is going to ask the three of us, Adam, Tim, and myself, some questions. So with that said, if we are ready for our debate, I have got my timer. Yes, go for it.
I do have one correction. It wouldn't so much be me asking you as this was one point I was going to make real quick before we start.
Yeah.
And time start is anyone who is watching in the live chat, if you have any questions for either me or the rest of this panel, you know, or basically me and Tim, we can save them. There will be I will set up a separate event on this on here. So from there, you can ask them in the chat there, because as well, both me and Tim are debating, we won't be looking at the live chat, obviously, because we're going to be focusing on what each other is saying. So if you have any questions or anything like that that you want to ask either me or the panel after the debate, save that for the separate event. Should hopefully work and set up right.
Are we ready? So we will now recognize Mr. Sean McCormick to give a 10-minute constructive speech where he will affirm the position, intelligent design is not intelligent. Mr. McCormick, when you begin to speak, your time will start.
Okay, again, I just want to say thank you to David Jr. and Tim and everyone who is joining us. But first off, as David said, I do have a degree, which is a technical certificate in digital drafting and design from Manhattan Area Technical College. I have designed a real life building while in school, and that design is currently in use. I, with a team of two other people, redesigned the dental hygiene program building that, as of right now, currently is being built as we speak. Also, since the topic of tonight's debate is intelligent design, my opponent must clarify who the designer is. As if there is a designer, we must have some record of design. He must clarify this. As with all designs, someone must draw blueprints to be followed. As if I want to know who, let's say, designed my house, for instance, I could go to the hall records, find the blueprints, and see who signed it. As then, I could go talk to them, touch them, see them, and, well, if they are friendly enough, smell and taste them. Also, if he does not explain who the designer is, he must explain where the design... Also, if he does explain who the designer is, he must explain where the designer has come from. For if we are designed and need a designer, then whatever made us would have to be designed by definition. Although if he does this, then he just used an argument of infinite regression. As if he is designed, then he would need a designer, and then that would need a designer, and so on and so forth, infinitum. Also, he must be able to explain ERVs, as well as all other issues with the design proposal. Also, my opponent must explain what he considers design and how he knows we are designed. If he uses the watchmaker argument, again, it goes back to the infinite regression. If he says things are so complex they must be designed, we have the same argument. If he claims, oh, my designer is outside space and time, then he just conceded defeat by definition, as he just said his designer does not exist. Because if he exists outside of space and time, he exists in no place at no time. If he claims that his designer is exempt from those rules, then he is using an argument of special pleading. If my opponent claims that things look designed, he must then give an explanation of design. If he says, oh, well, we don't know how this came about, so therefore we must have a designer, he will then be using the God of the Gaps argument. And if he says, oh, he just doesn't know how this could happen, therefore it is, you know, a designer, it is an argument of ignorance. My opponent must clearly show a designer for everything and how everything is perfect. Because if a designer made everything, he can't have mistakes. I, as a draft person, know I have designed things. Also, I have to make them perfect or else the checker and or engineer will send it back to me with a lot of red marks and I have to fix the red line work. Or I would end up in a real life situation, I would be doing other people's red line work while they work on other projects. I also hope to get my civil engineering degree and my professional engineering license. If I had them, let's say, hypothetically, I build a bridge and said bridge collapses and kills people, and my name was on it and it was proven my shoddy design was the cause of the collapse. Well, the police and other law enforcement will have my brown chakra locked up in the slammer faster than I can say, oh crap. So yeah, any mistakes, he must explain them, as well as mistakes are not acceptable in design work. So by his argument of design, I should not be able to find any mistakes or flaws in this so-called intelligently designed universe. Now, some of the issues he must clarify is genetic disorders, as if we are so well and perfectly designed, he must explain how they work in the design, and again, any designer worth their salt would never allow such issues in their design. Also, he must clarify the reason as to why our jaws are so small they do not allow our wisdom teeth to come in properly, as our jaws are so small, are too small for our wisdom teeth. Next, if the universe is designed for life, why is it that we can't live elsewhere in the universe that we know of? He must also, as I said, clarify the ERSVs, as they show we are not designed, as those attach directly to the DNA and are the same exact area as chimps. Again, if he argues irreducible complexity, such as the flagellum or the eye, I must object, as those have been proven not to be accurate and are not irreducibly complex. Also, speaking of the human eye, he must explain the reasons as to why the light receptors are reversed, thus making our brains do massive compensation to figure out what is in our blind spots. He must also clarify the reason for the LRN nerve to go down from our brain, around our heart, and back up our neck, as well as the issue as the respiratory and digestive tract issue that causes choking deaths every year. Also, one other point that I would like to clarify here, if he uses the odds of, you know, life beginning argument, I just want to, you know, make this very clear. The odds of both me and Tim sitting where we at, saying the things we're saying, with everybody who is watching this, watching it, the odds of all those events leading up to those points in these people's lives would be so astronomical, it would be impossible. Finally, since my opponent is arguing for an intelligent designer, he has the burden of proof to prove his designer, since he is the one making the claim. I am taking the null position, which is the default position, as he has made his claim of intelligent design, and I reject said claim on the lack of evidence. Thank you.
All right, Mr. McCormick, you used... I've got you down with 4 minutes and 1 second left. So I will add to your closing statement 9 minutes. It'll be 9 minutes and 1 second.
Okay.
If that is okay.
That's fine.
All right, with that said, and one thing I didn't say to you all was that I will be giving you 1 minute vocal cues when your time is about up. So, with that said, we now recognize Mr. Tim Carter to negate the proposition intelligent design is not intelligent. Mr. Carter, we will begin your time as soon as you begin speaking.
All right, thank you. Before I dive in to my constructive, I first want to thank Dave and Adam and Taggart for putting this on. And I want to thank my opponent for agreeing to be a part of this. While both me and my opponent disagree about the existence of God and how the world has come into being, we both are made in the image of God and therefore have meaning and value to our lives. And that is very important tonight before we dive into this and get into the arguments, because what I'm going to lay out tonight is not a personal attack on my opponent, but hopefully a winsome plea calling him to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, the creator and sustainer of all things. And therein lies the heart of the issue tonight. My opponent, no matter how hard he might try, cannot escape the reality that Christ not only created all things, including himself, but that himself being my opponent, but that Christ is also sustaining his creation as well. My opponent can speak tonight using logic. He can appeal to absolute truths because Christ Jesus graciously grants him the ability to do so. I pray that through this debate, my opponent will see the grace of Christ Jesus and realize that even in his utter rejection of the Creator God, God still graciously is giving him the opportunity to turn from his sin of rejection and embrace the Savior that died for his sins on the cross if he would put his faith and trust in him. Tonight's debate is simple. My opponent must prove his claim that intelligent design is not intelligent. However, while this is a simple debate, the answers that my opponent will attempt to provide will not address the issue at hand. He's going to attempt to throw out all sorts of supposed facts and observations that he has made about the created world and try to convince us that what he has observed cannot come from an intelligent designer. He's going to assert his mere opinion about observations and possibly and even casually dismiss supposed flaws in creation as unintelligent. But he has one flaw in his argumentation, and that is that he has not and cannot justify what intelligence is as a concept from his worldview. You see, if he is correct and there is not a creator, we are all here by random chance and mutation, then things such as objective truth cannot exist because there is not a basis by which to measure reality. It is only the biblical worldview that can account for the reality in which we live. Let me explain this. When my opponent is claiming that creation or intelligent design is not intelligent, he is making a value claim. Intelligent is, as defined by dictionary.com, means to have good understanding or high mental capacity, having a faculty of reason and understanding and possessing intelligence. What my opponent is claiming is that Christ Jesus, the Creator God, is less intelligent than he is. And it is at this point that my opponent must answer, by what standard is intelligence measured? There are only three possible answers to this question. There's a source outside of ourselves, number one. Number two, my opponent is the standard. Or number three, there is no standard. Only one of these options are possible, and that is that there has to be a source from outside ourselves that possesses the standard for not only intelligence, but also objective truth. And I would argue tonight that that standard is the triune God of the Christian scriptures recorded in Genesis through Revelation. If he says that he is the standard, if my opponent claims that he is a standard, then he must also be all-knowing. For if he is not all-knowing, then he is unable to examine all things that exist and determine such a claim that the created world is, as he says it is, so flawed that it could not have been designed. In short, he must be God in order to make such a claim. If by chance he says that there is no standard, then he has defeated his own claim. If there is no standard of intelligence, then this debate is pointless, and what my opponent says doesn't even matter in the first place, because it is reduced to mere opinion. From a biblical worldview, I can provide justification and a measure for the concept of intelligibility in objective truth. The triune God of Scripture is all-knowing, omnipresent, and eternal. He's the ultimate standard by which reality is to be measured by. It is through the divine revelation of Scripture that we are made aware that God created all things for His glory. It is from this understanding that we can justify our purpose, value, and meaning in life. Being created in the image of God, as the Scriptures say, provides not only meaning and purpose, but a point of origin that explains why I can think rationally and acknowledge objective truth. Since humans are created in the image of God, and we can therefore look to God as the measure of all rationality and intelligibility, if the atheist is true and God does not exist, then there is no point of origin that provides justification for rationality, intelligence, and objective truth. If we are merely the result of chance and mutation, then our thoughts are merely just the result of chemical reactions and bear no meaning outside of our individual experience. If such is the case, then all objectivity is lost, and any truth claim made is just a matter of chemical makeup. When you think about it, even mere opinions lose their value in such a reality because our opinions are not formed by what you think is correct, but how your chemicals in your body have decided you will think. But my opponent might say that this reality that I painted for the atheist worldview does not align with reality, and to that I would agree. However, this fact only proves my point even more. Not only does the atheist worldview not possess what is needed to justify objective truth and intelligence, but it also does not correspond to reality if carried out to its logical conclusions. Which brings this argument back around full circle. My opponent must provide justification for the concept of intelligibility from his worldview before he can even argue that intelligent design is not intelligent.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. I have you with 3 minutes and 35 seconds left. If I add that to your 5 minutes, that gives you 8 minutes and 35 seconds for your closing speech. So just to one more time clarify what we have done with these two opening speeches is we have granted both speakers 10 minutes. We have now moved the time that they have left to their closing statement. That way they get to use the full time. And so that now allows us to move to our next set of speeches. Our next set of speeches is, of course, the cross-examination period. During this time, Mr. McCormick will have 5 minutes to cross-examine Mr. Carter. Now, reminder, Mr. Carter, you are to respond to the questions. You are not to ask questions. And, of course, Mr. McCormick, you are to ask questions, not make statements. So with that said, I will recognize Mr. McCormick to begin the first affirmative cross-examination period, where you will begin to cross-examine Mr. Carter. I will start your time as soon as you begin to speak, Mr. McCormick.
Okay, thank you. Tim, you made in your opening statement, I just want to make sure I stand corrected. You are claiming your designer is God, is the God of the Bible, correct?
Yes, the triune God of Scripture.
Okay. What evidence do you have of this designer?
Divine revelation.
So the Bible.
I have the Bible. I also have creation and the image of God that I see in myself and,
so
and
would
every
you
created human being.
Okay. So since you say we are made in the image of God, are you willing to claim that God is 99% chimpanzee?
No, that doesn't even work in a biblical worldview.
Okay, do you understand that our DNA is that identical to a chimpanzee? If we are made in the image of God, our DNA should show that, and that's what it shows?
Well, you're misunderstanding the image of God. The image of God doesn't mean that God is a physical being. God is not a physical being. God is a spiritual being that exists, as you said in your opening statement, outside of time, outside of creation. He is not a part of creation, although he has entered creation through his Son and the work of the Holy Spirit. So when you look at biology, no. God is not a biological being.
Okay, so you, just to make sure that I understood correctly in your statement, you just said God is outside of space and time.
Correct.
You do realize you just said your God does not exist at any place or at any time.
Well, you're misunderstanding. You're thinking on a level that all things are natural and nothing can exist outside of this natural world. Within the biblical worldview, the natural world is a creation of the Creator God. He exists outside of creation, and creation would include everything that exists naturally in time and space are, if not part of creation, artifacts of creation.
Okay. Okay, let me look at this line of questioning. Let me ask you a simple design question, since you were bringing up this is what this relates to, since you brought it up. If I, as a engineer, laid railroad tracks and made it so two trains went in the same direction and were on a direct collision course and hit each other, would you call that a competent or intelligent design? Would you say that's good designing on my part?
Would that be good designing on your part to make two trains collide with each other?
Exactly. Would that be inaccurate? Would that be an example of good design? Or would that be considered horrible designing?
I think that would make you a bad designer.
Okay, then let me ask you this. Why is it that we have the Milky Way and the Andromeda Galaxy on a direct collision course with each other?
Why is it that we have the Milky Way
and Andromeda Galaxy on a direct collision course with each other? Okay, so by the analogy, which you said two trains going at each other in a collision course is, you know, a bad design. So I would ask you, would you not agree that two galaxies on a direct collision course is a horrible design?
To answer that, I would say, first of all, I think a lot of assumptions are being made in the course of these galaxies and whether or not they will collide or change course or whatever. However, the effect of sin on the universe, because of man's disobedience, has affected not only man, but the world that man lives in. So I could argue from a biblical worldview that if such is the case and these galaxies will collide, or they're moving towards that
10 seconds
way of colliding, I would say that it is because of the curse of sin that the creation is the way it is now with your supposed flaws.
And that is time.
Okay.
We will now go ahead and turn the tide here, and Mr. Carter will begin to ask Mr. McCormick questions for 5 minutes. Mr. Carter, I will start the time as soon as you begin. As a reminder, of course, Sean, if you have to repeat or, you know, have a little bit of clarification, that makes perfect sense to do on the question.
Yeah.
But obviously, you can't be just turning and asking him a question. But a point of clarification is always always necessary, you know, to be allowed. So with that said, Mr. Carter, we now recognize you to begin this time of cross-examination. You have 5 minutes.
Okay, my first question is really the question I began with, and that is, from your worldview, can you provide justification and a measure for what is intelligent outside of yourself?
Well, I would go with the, since we're arguing for the basis of design, I would look at what standards we have set for design. And as I stated, I mean, we have two galaxies on a direct collision course. There's galaxies that collide all the time. It's no different than if two trains were to collide. So that would be bad. That would be bad designing. Even if there is a designer, which there is no evidence for it, it's proven he's a horrible designer.
Okay, back to my first question. Can you provide a justification for intelligibility from an atheistic worldview?
I don't think this debate revolves around atheism. It's whether it's design. So I'm arguing from a design perspective, leaving all theological arguments out of it. And from a design perspective, we have too many flaws for it to be intelligently designed. If we are using, most people argue humanity, you know, the way we design is our brains as intelligent, then by that own standard, it falls apart.
Okay. So is intelligence something that is decided by you as an individual?
No. I mean, I would say intelligence, I can argue again, I'm going off of the base standards and looking at it, which we have all these issues with a design proposal, again, being... You know, like I said, I'll just keep pointing to that. The galaxy on a collision course, the sun going to overtake the Earth when it becomes a red giant. There's so many issues out there. I mean,
okay,
the human body alone is not intelligently designed.
So I'm gonna step away from my first question. I'll come back to it. Scientifically, how can you prove that these galaxies are going to collide?
Mathematically, we have been able to track the movement of both the Milky Way and the Andromeda through the universe, and we know they are in a set collision course.
Okay.
You also have other galaxies that have collided in the past.
Have we seen those collide?
Yes, I believe that there was one that I saw a story a while back where we have seen a collision, and they happen.
Okay, so in a scientific experiment, how important is the sample size? Like, if we're going to examine data in an experiment, do we want a big size to be able to determine something, or is a small amount of observation good enough to make a judgment claim?
Well, you usually want a larger amount, but on this case, if we're arguing design, again, as I stated, mistakes cannot occur. There's millions of bridges in the world, and almost all of them stand up. But there have been bridges that have collapsed and fallen on people. Does that mean that we need to stop all of our bridge building techniques? No, that would be stupid to make that argument. That's what we're saying with on design. When you have the galaxies colliding with each other, that is a mistake, and the designer who had the bridge collapse would be put in jail. Just as, you know, the designer who made the galaxies collide would be the one who has failed their job as a designer.
Okay. So you're still not answering my question. You said you made a reference to base standards for intelligence.
1 minute.
What is the base standards for intelligence?
Well, if we're talking on civil engineering, then it would be the standards set forth. All right, well, or I'll use this one. ANSI, that is, if I remember correctly, the North American one for that we use for design. That's the standards we have set as a field to say this is what we do and how we do it in the drafting world. Okay. And because of that, we have our standards that are proven to work.
So does the field of... what is the base standard to base what something is intelligently designed or not intelligently designed?
Again, you can make the argument that intelligence is perspective. It's, I mean, when it comes, I'll point this out, when it comes to English and grammar, I'm probably one of the dumbest people out there. But if it comes to design, I would argue people would call me intelligent.
That is time. So that was our two first rounds of cross-examination. That brings us to our next set of speeches, and that is five-minute rebuttals. We will begin with Mr. McCormick offering a five-minute rebuttal. Mr. McCormick, your time will begin as soon as you begin to speak.
Okay, thank you. First off, my opponent has claimed already, as I said in my opening statement, special pleading, that his, you know, designer is outside the laws of space and time. He is special pleading for him to violate the known laws of physics and everything else that we are governed by. He also has claimed the Bible as his evidence and proof of this designer, yet he has provided no evidence to support the Bible. And by his own use of the Bible, I can even prove that his designer knows nothing of what he supposedly created. According to the Bible, the moon is a light. In Genesis 1, it says, I believe it's Genesis 1:13, could be wrong on the verse, but it says he created two lights, the greater to govern the day and the lesser to govern the night. And almost every biblical scholar I have ever read claims the lesser light to govern the night is in fact the moon. Pi, according to the Bible, is 3, not 3.14, so on and so forth. I mean, according to Jesus, who he has already referenced, the way men get sick is not by things entering through their mouth, but by words they say. So he is pretty much saying that, you know, oh, well, sin is what causes disease, not bacteria. I mean, Jesus didn't know that. Jesus thought the earth was flat because he said, pray that my return does not come during the winter, and that, and having a season only one over a set area, such as the entire earth having the same season, would only work on a flat earth. So, I mean, God says he put the earth upon his foundation and it is immovable. That would imply a geocentric, you know, solar system or even universe. Again, we know this to be wrong. So his own, you know, claim, which again, that's a circular argument of the claim can't prove the claim. So the Bible can't be used to prove the Bible. But even in his own claim, we know, you know, whoever wrote it didn't understand the first thing of reality. So he has not only used special pleading, he has used the argument of infinite regression by saying God, you know, created all, he has used the, you know, circular reasoning. I mean, he has, you know, yet to prove design. He has yet to clarify what design is. Or how he can recognize it. If he goes with that we look design, okay, maybe I can even grant that point because we are plastic to our environment. There's a reason Antarctic and camels live in the desert. You put a camel in the desert and a camel in the Antarctic and a penguin in the desert, they're going to die because they are not suited for that environment through how they evolve. I'm still waiting for him to explain, you know, he fully admitted that two trains on a direct collision course would be a bad design. I mean, if I put two trains 100 miles away speeding towards each other, you can't prove they're going to crash. That was his argument for the two galaxies. We know the galaxies are on a collision course. Yet, that's not bad design. Or is it just sin, which he has, again, if he argues sin, he still then now has to prove his God, which he has yet to do. So I'm still waiting to hear any design argument from him other than the Bible is what design is, and that is one of the most laughable claims I have heard.
1 minute.
I got nothing else on rebuttal, so if he wants to go, he can.
All right, I'm not going to transfer that time down.
Yeah.
I will only transfer the time for the first affirmatives down to our closing. So with that said, I will now recognize Mr. Carter to give a rebuttal speech no longer than 5 minutes.
Technical
timeout. Mr. Carter, I will start your time for your rebuttal speech. That will be no longer than 5 minutes as soon as you begin speaking.
All right, to clarify, in a debate, the affirmative must prove what he is affirming, and that is intelligent design is not intelligent. The negative only has to prove that the affirmative is incorrect. So I don't have to prove anything more than that. And to do that, I'm going to go back to my original question, and that was, how do you justify intelligibility from an atheistic worldview? Now, when we talk about worldview, we all approach reality with preconceived ideas about what reality is. My preconception of reality, if you want to call it that, is governed by divine revelation found in Genesis through Revelation. It is through that I know my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, and through him that I know God, the triune creator of all things. I can look to that and understand that the world was created by God in 6 days, and it was created good, and the design was perfect. However, there came a point where man, in disobedience to God, sinned, and that sin brought cataclysmic change to the reality in which we live. It brought with it death. And through that, not only was man cursed, but the ground was cursed. And because of that, I would argue today, we see genetic mutations. We see galaxies going to collide with each other. We see all these supposed design flaws, but in reality, they're not flaws. They're the result of a broken creation that can only be restored through the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross for those who would put their faith and trust in him. My opponent is trying to argue and throw out all these facts, but he has not yet proven how anything can be judged intelligent from his worldview. And he wants to say that I'm making a theological argument about this, and I am. He is just as theological as I am, except for he is his own God. Therefore, he must prove how something is intelligent. He must demonstrate from a worldview, from a perspective, that everything just happened out of nothing, without a designer, without a cause, without a creator, and how from that we can have objective truth and intelligibility. I would argue that if we are here by chance and by random mutation, as the atheist would propose, then we are just mere chemicals reacting, and what I say doesn't matter, what my opponent says doesn't matter. All that matters is how the chemicals react in our mind right now and how they make us feel, and ultimately, at some point, it's going to be worthless anyway because we're going to pass away and not exist anymore. So, back to my first question that must be answered. I can answer intelligence. I can look to the triune God of Scripture, and I can justify intelligibility because he is intelligent, and he created all things, and he created man in his own image. Being created in the image of God, I would look to my rationality, to my ability to speak a coherent language. I would look to the ability to create and see the image of God in humanity. The atheist cannot justify why those things exist in human beings and not any other creature.
1 minute.
On top of that, my opponent needs to prove what his standard of intelligibility is. And until he does that, this argument is null and void and carries no water.
Sean, or Tim, you are completed. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So, Sean, Tim yields his last 30 seconds, if you're keeping track of time. That then moves us into our final round of cross-examination for the debate. With that said, what we're doing now is we are following debate decorum, and we are switching the speaker order, and that means now that the negative team will turn around and begin to cross-examine the affirmative team. So, Tim will have 5 minutes to now cross-examine Sean. Then after that, Sean will have 5 minutes to cross-examine Tim. And then Tim will have a 8 minute and 35 second closing statement, followed by Sean's 9 minute and 1 second closing statement. With that said, I will now recognize Mr. Tim Carter to cross-examine Mr. McCormick.
Sean, the first question I have is, do you understand the question I'm asking in being able to provide justification for intelligibility from a worldview that says God does not exist and everything has happened by random chance?
Yes, I understand the question, but we don't have any evidence of intelligence in the universe as it stands. We have natural, you know, processes that we can explain everything through.
So
again, natural does not have intelligence.
Okay, so if natural doesn't have intelligence, then you can't substantiate your argument that intelligent design isn't intelligent.
Yes, I can. I've just demonstrated through the line of questionings and opening statement and rebuttal of how, you know, things in here are not intelligent, or at least they are not intelligent to the design community. Because as I pointed out, any designer, engineer, or otherwise, who would make these, I mean, no other way to put it, but laughable mistakes in their design would never, ever again work in the design industry ever again. I mean, they would be blacklisted for their own stupidity.
Okay. What qualifies a person to look at galaxies, to look at biology, and make the judgment call that it was designed unintelligibly?
By looking for flaws or mistakes, such as you pointed out, something being on a direct collision course is a bad design and would be a bad choice for a design. You just admitted your God is a bad designer by the Andromeda and Milky Way galaxy being on a collision course.
Okay, I did not admit that. I admitted no such thing. What I said was that sin has so marred creation that it is plausible that galaxies could collide because of the result of sin in the universe.
Remember to ask questions, Tim.
Okay. My next question is, what makes a person, it really goes back to that first question, how do you know something is unintelligibly designed without knowing everything about it?
Simple. If I look at something, I can figure out the design process, and we have standards that are set for design. If these fail these standards, such as mistakes, errors, things that would cause catastrophic failure or catastrophic things to happen, let's say I build a bridge. I need to hold per foot 1,500 pounds per foot. I use a rebar that's only set for 800 pounds per foot. That would be a catastrophic failure on the bridge. And I could look at it and go, whoever designed this bridge was a moron. And that's how I look at design. Okay. Whoever designed this universe
Doesn't
know.
No, we don't. Okay, sorry. I apologize.
doesn't know what he was doing.
Okay. So how much what credentials does a person need to hold to look at a human cell and know that it is not properly designed?
Well, I would say probably a degree in biology would be very helpful. I do not have a degree in biology. I do have a anatomy class, and that's what I was referring to with the LRN nerve, if that's where you were going.
Okay. Would you admit that there's a lot of things that you are unaware of when it comes to biology, anatomy, and astronomy?
I would say that's probably accurate. Yes, I am not an expert in any of those fields. Again, this relates, you know, to design, so I'm arguing only from a design aspect.
If you don't know how something works, how do you know it's designed properly?
Again, I've already stated this. I can look at how it works and functions from a design perspective. Again, you know, I already used this example. The trains, it's a very good example. You don't need to have a degree in design.
It is time. Now, Mr. Okay. McCormick, it is your turn.
We're going to take a technical
timeout. Okay, we're going to take a technical timeout here real quick to 5 minutes, Sean.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, Tim.
Yeah.
You brought up the point of that I don't know, you know, astronomy, biology, chemistry, you know, those fields that I am not obviously an expert in. But you do realize that those fields that pertain to the so-called origins of the universe and life, a majority of the scientists who work in those fields are in fact do in fact not see design. You do realize that, right?
You're making a very general statement. There are plenty of scholars out there that would hold to creation, that would hold to intelligent design. And I would argue that community is probably growing a little bit at a faster rate than those who would say it's not intelligently designed.
Okay, there was a Pew study done a while back that showed, like, biology, astrophysics, things along those lines, those fields, hold a, was it like a 58%, I think, you know, non-believing community? You realize that, right?
What's the point?
Well, I was just asking because you're asking how can I tell. I mean, to me, that's a good argument against design. If the people who actually work in those fields who study that don't see it, why are we supposed to see it? But I'm also bringing that up to point to that, no, I don't know a lot of things, but I also read what the experts have to say to educate myself on them. But with that being said, let me ask you this. You do know how the digestive tract works, right? In the human body?
Pretty good idea.
Okay. You know how the respiratory system works, right?
Yes.
Can you please explain to me why, you know, hundreds of people die every year from choking because they try to breathe when they swallow food? How that is a good design?
Once again, from a biblical worldview, I can explain death because it is brought on by the curse of sin. When sin was brought into the world, death came with it. And death comes in multiple forms. Sometimes it's choking to death. Sometimes it's drowning. Sometimes it's dying in our sleep. Sometimes it's cancer. I can explain that from a biblical worldview and make sense of it and cope with it.
Okay. Because I know the line of reasoning, but first let me ask you this. Can you show me where exactly in human history, and it's not just humans, it's pretty much all animals who eat and breathe. Can you show me where that took place?
Where what took place? The fall of man?
No, the part where our digestives and respiratory systems became one and the same, pretty much, in that aspect for using the throat for it to cause us to choke to death on our own when we try and breathe and swallow at the same time. Or was that design always there?
You're trying to join two worldviews that do not join. From an atheist perspective, you would say that we evolved, and somehow we evolved without intestines, but we had lungs, but somehow developed lungs along the way, and the kidneys that are also important, and the heart, which is a whole other issue in evolution that is just ridiculous. But you're trying to combine two things. From a biblical worldview, man was created whole. He didn't evolve, he didn't develop kidneys, he didn't develop a heart, he didn't develop lungs, he didn't develop his digestive system. God created it with those things. Now, choking and dying is a result of sin. Did man choke and die before sin? I would say no, because death was not in the world, because sin was not in the world.
1 minute.
Okay, so you're saying how we are now, as in the respiratory and digestive tract being how it is, was how we were always created?
I don't know that for fact, but I would argue that it's probably very, very likely, yes. I wasn't in the garden, so I don't know.
Okay, so your God, you just admitted your God design had a massive catastrophic failure with the, you know, design aspect, that he didn't see a potential problem or choking hazard?
All right, once again, I did not say that. You're twisting what I said. What I said is because of the fall, when God created everything, he created it good. He said it was very good when he was finished. And at that state, man would not have choked on something and died, because death was not in the world. The curse of death had not come because sin had not come. I can explain why that happens today because of the revelation I have in Genesis that says, through sin, death came to the world, and people now choke and die
that
because
is
of
time.
That.
All right, that moves us into our last speeches here. Now, in these last speeches, you two will have slightly different times. Tim, you will have 8 minutes and 35 seconds. Now, my phone does not count down 8 minutes and 35 seconds, so I will have to give you a vocal time is up, and I'll do the same thing for Mr. McCormick. So we will now recognize Tim Carter to provide his closing speech. 8 minutes and 35 seconds. Again, just as a reminder, in debate, the closing statement, you are not to bring in new evidence or new arguments. That would be outside of decorum. That would be outside of the rules of the debate. So based upon what we have already brought into the debate, that is what we deal with here. With that said, I now recognize Mr. Tim Carter for 8 minutes and 35 seconds to give his closing statement.
I hope for our listeners tonight that it's been very clear what has been said. I am arguing from a biblical worldview, a worldview that is put in place to make sense of the reality in which we live. When I look to Scripture, when I look to the image of God imprinted on mankind, when I see the evidence of God's existence in creation, and His special revelation revealing His Son through the Holy Scriptures, I can look to that and make sense of the reality in which we live, and make sense of intelligibility, objective truth, morality, and the list goes on. My opponent, on the other hand, has not even attempted to justify such claims. He has not brought any evidence to the table of how something is intelligent. In fact, there have been times where he says intelligence is not a part of the natural world, that it doesn't exist. It's almost mere opinion. And he can correct me on that if he wishes in his closing statement. But if that is the case, then his argument falls flat. If intelligence cannot be justified from his worldview, then his worldview is incorrect. However, my worldview, laid out in the Bible, Genesis through Revelation, clearly makes sense of reality. Reality is consistent with revelation. Now, he has tried to throw out all these supposed design flaws, whether it be anatomy, whether it be astrology, whatever it may be, but yet he cannot make sense of even those arguments if he cannot define what is intelligible from his worldview. From the Christian worldview, we see in Genesis that God existed before all things, is eternal, and was not created by anything. In that, God, in his divine wisdom, decided that he would create the world in which we live, and in that, he created all things good. The universe, everything that exists, everything in the natural world, was created by Jesus Christ, and it is sustained by him. However, in that creation, God gave man freedom to act and live in his creation. In that freedom, man chose to disobey God, and that disobedience brought with it a punishment. God said if they would eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die. But God, being a gracious God, did not kill them right there. God allowed them to live, allowed them to propagate the human race, and in that time promised a Savior that would come and redeem the world and make all things new. Yes, we see flaws in our creation today, but those flaws are the result of a broken universe, of broken mankind in need of a Redeemer. God sent that Redeemer, Jesus Christ, his Son, in the flesh, at the right time in history, to live a perfect life, to die willingly on a cross, taking the wrath of God on himself, taking the punishment that all men deserve for death on himself, so that those who would put their faith and trust in him could be reconciled with God, made new creations, and ultimately someday be carried into the new heavens and new earth, where everything will be perfect and there will be no flaws. My opponent is correct in that there are flaws in our world. There is much brokenness. Sin destroys everything it gets in contact with. We have wars, we have cancer, we have death all around us because the result of sin. I can explain that, I can make sense of that from a biblical worldview. Furthermore, I can explain why those things are bad. From the atheistic worldview, my opponent cannot tell me or justify why death by choking is a bad thing. The only thing that he can say to that is that they were not fit to survive, and that is just the process of evolution. But none of us agree with that because we are created in the image of God and we recognize that there is a moral law. We recognize that there is good, that there is evil, and that there is a brokenness around us. That is only evidence to the God, the triune God of Scripture and his existence. So tonight's debate, like I said, is very simple. It comes down to being able to define what is intelligence. And until my opponent can prove from his worldview what intelligence is as a concept and justify it, his argument will not stand. We can talk about facts all day. There are plenty of facts out there, but until we can know something is intelligent, the facts do not matter. Until we can define and justify from his worldview that something is intelligent, that objective truth exists, any fact he throws out is meaningless and justifies nothing. But you say, he does have facts. There are flaws, which only proves my point even more, that from a biblical worldview, I can make sense of that, and therefore God does exist. God did create the world, and we live in a fallen, broken world that needs a Savior who is only Jesus Christ. Thank you.
All right. Mr. McCormick, that now goes to you. I have 9 minutes and 1 second that will be granted to you for your closing statement. Again, I remind you, no new arguments, just the arguments that are out on the table. Your time will begin once you begin speaking.
Okay. I do want to say thank you to David Jr. for moderating this debate. I do want to say thank you for coming. Thank you to Tim for coming onto my channel and having this debate. First off, Tim did admit that two trains running at each other is, you know, a bad design. Whether they're going to collide, but having that set up to even have that would be a bad design. So by extension, if you have two, you know, galaxies on a collision course, that would, by extension, be a bad design. And to clarify one point he did make on my intelligence, I said intelligence is perspective. Like I said, I'm an absolute moron when it comes to grammar. If anybody who's ever read how I write, I'm a moron. But when it comes to drafting, I would argue I'm very intelligent in that aspect. Again, he admitted we have flaws. So therefore, that would be a bad design in its own right. That's a full admission of a bad design. Having flaws. You cannot have flaws in design work. Again, I'll go back to the bridge with the rebar. If I use the wrong rebar, that bridge is going to fall and it's going to fail. If a big, you know, heavy loaded semi truck who goes over the weight limit, that's why you see those signs with the weight limits on for trucks of why they can't go over certain bridges because they aren't rated for those types of vehicles. He also brings up sin and God. He still has yet to prove God. He is the one making the assertion of God. So he has, by definition, the burden of proof for God. And I believe it's Christopher Hitchens who said this. And again, if I'm wrong, I'm sure either the live chat and or the people in the comments below will correct me on this. But who said, and I quote, "That which is asserted without evidence can be dismissed without evidence. God has multiple times been asserted without evidence, so I will do as he says and dismiss it without evidence. He has failed to prove his God. He has claimed the Bible is proof of the intelligence of his God, yet the Bible thinks pi is 3, the cure for leprosy is bird's blood, and the moon is a light, let alone the geocentrism of, you know, the sun, you know, goes up, finishes a circuit, and hurries back to its starting point. That would imply the sun revolving around the earth, a geocentric model, which again, we know has been proven to be false. The earth is flat, held up by pillars. Again, we know this to be false. So wait, even the evidence he claims as proof of his design, of his designer being intelligent, fails basic third grade science. Because even in third grade, you understand that the earth revolves around the sun, not the sun revolving around the earth. And he refuses to address the issue. I mean, he said that the respiratory and digestive tract were the same as when we were supposedly created. Again, any designer would look at that and go, huh, that can cause a problem. I mean, I'll point to this. Whales and dolphins, both the way they use their blowhole makes it a lot more suitable for not choking than the way we are. Because they use two different tracks, for one for digestion and a completely separate one for respiratory. It's a much better design, so why didn't we get that one? You know, so by his own reasoning, he has asserted multiple times without evidence. He has stated his God is outside space and time, therefore his God cannot exist by his own definition of it being outside of space and time, therefore his God exists at no place, at no time. He has made multiple claims of sin being the cause, yet has produced no evidence of sin, because sin is the disobedience of God, and by nature, if he doesn't prove God, there is no sin. Sin is a social construct. He argues morality, and I would just reference you to my debate on morality against Adam, where I completely show where God is immoral. He claims that sin came about from eating from the knowledge of good and evil, right and wrong, eating on that tree. So, by his own definition, that couldn't have been sin, because they would have no way of knowing that that was wrong to do that. So, God, if he's supposed to be is he supposed to be all-knowing, he would know that would be a bad design. He should be able to look at the human body and go, you know, having the respiratory and digestive tract together, that might be a problem. He claims we're also made in the image of his God. So by his own definition, his God is 99% chimpanzee. He admitted that, because if we go off of how we are made, you look at DNA. DNA is 99% the same as chimp. He denies, flat out denied evolution. Yet the ERVs completely prove that wrong. They're in the same exact spot as a chimp, which the ERVs attach directly to the DNA code. So where does he get off saying evolution isn't accurate when that right there alone proves it? I mean, there are just so many issues with his own arguments that, honestly, I find them almost laughable. His God as a designer is laughable. If I was an engineer and God worked for me, I would laugh him out of my office and he would be blacklisted in the entire design community because he is incompetent. Anyone who has designed things how they are with how God designed it would be incompetent and would never work in the design industry again, let alone get a degree in any form of drafting or engineering. Let alone engineering, which you would need to do what God supposedly has done. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. McCormick. Well, that is going to be the conclusion of our debate. Now, I believe for Mr. McCormick's live chat... Bring forth the royal diadem.
Thank you, man.